Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. Now that we've finished our first app, let's move on to building a second app. This time we're going to build an app that's both location aware and social in nature. So it will use the phone's built-in GPS to determine where the current user is standing, and then use the latitude and longitude to search for photos that others have taken within a few meters of where our current user is standing. So how will we do that? We're going to call on Flickr, the social photo sharing website, to provide the data. Whenever you take a photo with a camera that supports geotagging, extra metadata is added to the photo that includes, amongst other things, the latitude and the longitude, the position in the world where that photo was taken. So then when you upload photos to Flickr, it'll store that extra data and make it available so that others can search for photos based on a specific latitude and longitude. That's exactly what we're going to do. So our app should not only allow me to search for photos around me, but it should also let me pick my favorite Flickr photos from the ones that it brings up and then choose those as lock screen background images. That would be really cool. And then, like, say, like every 30 minutes, it would change to another random one of the ones that I have selected. I think that would be a neat feature. So now that we have some ideas on maybe how it should work, let's spend a few moments mocking up how we want the app to behave. That will be the target that we'll build towards throughout the remainder of this series. So our game plan in this lesson is that we're going to start brainstorming using a low-tech mock-up to design the interactions and the screens that we want in our app. And then secondly, we're going to create a new project, and we're going to take some preliminary steps towards building our app by including a map control in our project and a couple of other things. Now, even though we haven't designed the app just yet, I anticipate that the map control will come into play at some point, so we're going to learn how to use it in this lesson. All right, again, we should spend some time thinking about the functionality of the app and about the interaction between the user and the app, how the information should be displayed to the user, and so on. And we're going to do that through, again, a low-tech mock-up using the templates that are available from Microsoft like we did in the previous app. So after some brainstorming, I came up with some good design ideas. Actually, these were all done by Clint in the first place, but let's just pretend that I did them for now, okay? So at any rate, if you take a look at the main page here, and hopefully you'll see a larger version of this on screen, the main page will show the user the map control, and it'll display the user's current position. And below that, there'll be a text box where the user can optionally search for a phrase. So not only just the pictures around me, but the pictures around me that have some descriptive text that match some phrase, some search criteria that the user will be able to type in here before they click the search button on the app bar at the very bottom. So when the user clicks the search button on the app bar here at the bottom, we're going to make a call out to Flickr's web API. You can see I have that denoted with this little cloud at the very bottom. And so we're going to call their web callable API using the user's current locale, their latitude and longitude, as well as the little search phrase that they may have typed in here on the main page. And so then we'll get back a list of all the images that will finally then display inside of a grid. Then the user can select photos that they want, making multiple selections in that list of results, and then click a little button here at the bottom. And that will allow the application then to cache those photos onto its local storage and randomly use them as the lock screen image. So this will require we use a background agent to run about every 30 minutes or so. So now that we have a basic idea of the interactions that we want to enable, the functionality that we want in the app, and the basic screen elements that we're going to need, let's start building towards that design. All right, so you should be familiar with this process already. However, for the sake of completeness, let's go ahead and go File, New Project. We're going to make sure we are in C#, Windows Phone Templates, and we want to select the Windows Phone App template here at the very top, and we're going to call this project Around Me, because I want to see photos from others that took photos around me where I'm at right now. Okay, and we'll click the OK button. We're going to target the version 8 of the Windows Phone operating system. And so the first thing that we're going to want to do is we are going to do something we haven't done yet, and that is go to the toolbox, and I want to drag and drop the map control from the toolbox on the design surface. Now, when you do that, there are a few side effects, and you can see what happened to me here. In my case, I created a left margin of, 349 and a top margin of 111. That's not really what I want, but I can easily edit that out in the XAML itself. It's for this reason that I prefer to work directly with the XAML, especially if I remember the name of the control that I want to use. However, in this particular case, and let me resize a few things here. We'll choose fit selection. There we go. In this particular case, I want you to take a look at the code that was added up here near the very top. You can see that we get this XML namespace maps. All right. So by dragging and dropping the maps control, a XAML namespace was added to the XAML document. This is necessary because the maps control lives in a different namespace and assembly from the other controls that I've been using. But nonetheless, I now have a map control. I want to edit it to simply sport a name attribute and get rid of all of this margin information and so on. Vertical alignment, we're going to get rid of all that. Horizontal alignment. We just want simply a map with a name. And I'm going to call this the around me map. All right, there we go. You can see by removing all that positional information, it just centers the map here in my content panel. Very cool. All right, now if I were to try and run the app at this point, and as you can see, we have an exception that's thrown here. We've seen something like this in the previous project when we had some problems with our XAML, right? So we see here a first chance exception of type system.windows.markup.xamlparseexception. Okay, so what could this possibly be? I mean, we didn't really add all that much XAML to our project. Well, the problem is that the map control, let me stop this. The map control requires the mapping and location capabilities of the phone to be declared, and we've not told the Windows Phone operating system that we want to use those capabilities in our app. The mapping functionality of the Windows Phone 8 operating system has changed dramatically from the previous version that was based on Bing Maps. The new mapping features were built in conjunction with Nokia and are more integrated into the phone's operating system than before in an effort to make the maps more performant. So this is why we need to request permission to use this capability of the phone. It's now a core feature of the phone. So to learn more about the rationale for the changes to mapping in Windows Phone 8, take a look at this blog post, this Windows Phone team blog post. So to remedy this, what we're going to need to do is to make some changes in the wmappmanifest.xml file. So we're going to open it up and we're going to go to the Capabilities tab, and I want to make sure to select the location and map capabilities. So make sure you've got both of these checked. Okay? And then let's go ahead and just rerun the app. So as you can see, the map control appears, but it's at a very high level because no location is set. We'll actually do that next. So let's stop, and then in the map mainpage.xaml.cs file, let's go here and we're going to go loaded. So we're going to unloaded for our main page. We're going to add the main page loaded event handler. So I'll hit tab. And then here I'm going to create a call to a helper method. And the reason I'm creating a helper method is because I anticipate that I'm going to reuse this functionality I'm about to write in another file later on, and I'm just preparing for that eventuality. Okay, so let's, in the update map, let's go around me map dot set view, and there are quite a few overloads for this. What we want to do is choose this overload. It's the fourth one, at least on my version of Visual Studio, where we give it a geo-coordinate for the center, and then we give it a zoom level. All right, so a geo-coordinate is just a class, so geo-coordinate, and it comes from system.device.location. I'm going to go ahead and hit the escape key on my keyboard because I don't want it to auto add all of that. We'll add a using statement in a little bit. Geo-coordinate, and then we'll give it also a zoom level. And so here, I'm just going to type in 17D, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. Okay. So in this new geo-coordinate, let's go ahead and add the using statement so we get IntelliSense help here. So using system.device.location, great. Let's give it then a latitude and a longitude. So I happen to know which one I want to work with, and I'll explain this in a little bit. And comma, longitude would be minus 87.6231D. Okay. So the setView method combines several property settings into one convenient call. So we pass in this geo-coordinate class that's hard-coded to a specific place, and that place happens to be in Chicago. I'll talk about why I picked Chicago a little bit more in a moment. And then, now that we have given it the center point that we want to view, then we're also going to give it a scaling factor of 17. And you can experiment with these numbers, but 19 is zoomed in really close and 5 is zoomed really far out. So I picked 17 because that's a good middle point. By the way, you'll notice that I suffixed each of these values with the capital letter D, which is for double. It's just a way to ensure that we're working with double literals, okay? I think you can leave these off and you'll be fine, but it's just a habit that I've gotten into. So now I want to test to make sure that this works. All right, and you can see we're zooming in quickly into a specific point here. You can see the text, the John Hancock Center, next to Water Tower Place, next to Loyola University downtown, all kinds of good stuff. All right, so that's why I wanted to pick this, because that spot's pretty important to me. Okay, but at any rate, let's stop right here. We've made some good progress already as we've gotten started. To recap, the big takeaway from this lesson is how to use the new map control in the Windows Phone 8. We're going to become even more familiar with it as we go through these lessons, but at a minimum, we know that it requires that we set a capability or two in the wmappmanifest.xml file. We also learned how to change the focus of the map like we did just now and the zoom level. And we learned about the geo-coordinate class and that it represents a position on the globe based on its latitude and longitude. And we still need to learn how to retrieve the current position of the phone. And we're going to do that soon, but this is a really good start. So we'll pick it up in the next lesson. We'll see you there. Thank you.